Good morning. Thank you so much for letting me be here. Welcome, of course, to those who are in their pajamas and those who are a little more dressed up who came here to enjoy breakfast. I have a question for you this morning. What are you scared of?
Spiders.
Spiders? Yes. Anyone scared of snakes? I still have nightmares about snakes. What are you scared of? The future. Ooh. My daughter, when she was put, I have a daughter, she's 4 years old. When she was put on time out, she was yelling, "I'm scared of being alone." It was the saddest thing in the world. She said, "I don't want to be alone." Who's scared of being alone? Sometimes it's nice to be alone, if we're being honest. I've noticed something. My daughter, she's the one, she's 4 years old. Her name is Hadassah. She's got when she was young, she had this 2-foot radius that she would stay around me. And it was a beautiful thing. She was a lot more cautious. So she'd stay around wherever I went, and she was with me, and I was, it was good, it was easy. And then my son came along. He's 2, Josiah, and he has no fear. None. There's a busy street, he will run towards the street. If there's something happening over here, he will run out of my sight, go down the corner, without even caring if I notice. He has no fear, except when we go to great-grandma's house. The tables are turned. Now, my grandma, if anyone has a grandma like this, you are blessed. She gives hugs. Not just a hug, she gives hugs. This is a hug where you lose all sense of control. The hug that you don't know how long it's going to last. You don't know how many love taps you're going to get. You don't know how many kisses. You don't know what's going to happen. It is unknown. Because she will grab you, and she is 94 years old, and I can't get out of her hugs. And so when we go to great-grandma's house, my daughter will run towards grandma, great-grandma, and she will just embrace this hug, and she tries to get away, but then she just kind of gives up and just enjoys the hug. But my son, he will toddle up those stairs, and he'll see my daughter in a chokehold, and he'll get this little smile on his face, and he'll bolt the other direction. He is scared of grandma's hugs because he doesn't know my grandma as much. My daughter knows great-grandma. She plays piano with great-grandma. She swims with great-grandma. She paints with great-grandma. She does tea time with great-grandma. She knows great-grandma. My son likes to play with trucks all alone without great-grandma around. So he doesn't know great-grandma. So he bolts the other direction the minute he can. This entire series has been on the Ten Commandments. And last Sabbath, you got to look at the 10 blessings. I loved that, by the way. Pastor Rolfo looked at the Ten Commandments and these 10 blessings, or even these 10 callings. And our text for today is the climax of that experience. We have in Exodus 20:18. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. Now, for 1 second, how do you see thunder? How do you see the sound of a trumpet? How do you see these things? I like to argue that this is them seeing God. This is the presence of God coming down. Thunder, another word can be translated in voice. This is a voice. Lightning in the Hebrew. This is Zion's glory. The trumpet that's used here, the shofar, this is the ram's horn that was used when the tabernacle, the ark, had come back into the people. This is the word that was used when it was a celebration of a king's coronation. This ram was used when God was among his people. And the smoke, the smoking, is ashan. This is a theophany, which is just a nerdy word to say that God was there. All of these words that are describing this experience say that God came down. God came to be with God's people, to invite them into this new life. And the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off. Now, some of us are like, of course they were scared. This is a mountain smoking. My Monday afternoon, evening, I was coming from UCI, University of California of Irvine, on the 241, and then I took the 91 because I live in Corona and the 15. Now, does anyone know what was happening? Monday, there was a canyon fire. So I got a front row seat. My son loved this. He could see all of these helicopters and all of these things. But maybe so you guys can help me understand this. There were people who were evacuated, but then there were these weird people in big, shiny red trucks. And they had sirens, and I counted like 14 of them in a row. And they were actually going towards the mountain. Weird people. Strange. Does anyone know who these people are who would be daring enough to go towards the fire? Firefighters, thank you. These are firefighters, right? At least I hope so. Otherwise, they need to get out. There are some weird people who wanted to sit there and look at the fire, and I don't know why. But the firefighters knew the fire. The firefighters understood how to deal with a fire. The firefighters must have a sense of a call to have the guts to run towards a fire. Do we have any firefighters? No? Anyone who has a relative or someone they know? I have a new admiration for firefighters. Because here they see a burning building or a burning mountain, and they overcome their fear. They embrace the mystery of what will happen. They go towards this smoking mountain. They go towards the fire. Why? How? How do you go towards that thing that is so overwhelmingly scary? How do you continue to move towards something that could easily destroy you? This is a call. The people of God are standing at a distance, and they see their all-powerful God. They see this holy other Elohim. They see this Yahweh, the one that gave them breath to speak. And they bolt. And they even dare to say, in our next verse, Exodus 20:19, Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die. Yahweh, the one that gave them breath to speak, they say, don't let God speak. Don't let God speak. Ouch. That is painful. Don't let God speak. But they turn to Moses. Now, Moses was not in the picture before. They have this experience with God, and they turn to Moses. Moses, you speak to God, and then you package God in a cute little rubber box that we can understand and manage and control, and then you give God to us. Moses, you take care of this thing with God and manage that. We're going to stand over here. You manage that, and then you tell us who God is. How many times have we done this? How many times do we do this today? You know what? Tradition, religion, you relate to God. You tell me who God is, and then I will just listen to it. But do they? The minute Moses is out of the picture, they're creating an idol to replace Moses. How many times do we do this? How many times do we ask for someone else to be our intercessor with God? We have this beautiful belief in our church and in most Christian churches that there's a priesthood of just the elite. All believers. There's a priesthood of all believers. What does that mean? Do we actually believe that? You get to have a relationship with God. You don't have to advocate my relationship with God. You get to actually talk to God. You don't have to listen to how I understand God. So many times we have placed a Moses in the way of our relationship with God. Whoever your Moses is, it might be the way that you grew up in whatever faith whatever tradition, whatever way that God was packaged for you. And now you might be struggling with this reality that this God that you've been given doesn't hold water when you're in pain. This God that you've been given no longer is able to help you because you are dealing with insurmountable suffering. But you're the one that put Moses in the way. You're the one that put faith, put your traditions in the way of your relationship with God. How many times, and be honest, have you felt limited by your faith, by your church, by your Moses? But here's the beauty of it. Because you put Moses in between you and God, you can remove Moses and connect with God. You can actually come to a point where you realize that there is more, that God actually is more. The phrase here, do not let God speak to us lest we die. Does that not sound familiar to someone? Does that not sound familiar? Lest we die. The fall. Now, back in Genesis 3, just simply the way the story goes, God says, don't eat this fruit lest you die. They eat the fruit. Redemption, boundaries, they get to live. So here we have the people saying, we won't talk to God. We can't talk to God lest we die. What happened? There was a second opportunity for intimacy with God, and the people became a self-proclaimed prophecy that they will die. Who told them they would die? Granted, there's other areas where they might infer that, but not here. God came down to experience life with them, to invite them into this new way of being, and they reject God and put Moses in the way, and they say, we're going to die. Have you ever, this is like, sounds like a temper tantrum to me. I can't do the dishes because I'm just going to die. I can't talk to God because I'm just going to die. Relating to God and trying to understand and know and connect with God is scary. God is a mystery. God is an unknown. God is more powerful than any of us could ever understand. Yet so often we feel limited by our view of God. Our last verse, Exodus 20, 20 to 21. There we go. Moses gets to respond. Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you. Does anyone understand that? Do not fear, but the fear of him will be before you. Do not fear, but let the fear of him be before you. There's these two different kinds of fear here. There is this fear that is limiting, this fear that is scary, this fear that does not allow for you to actually fully see God and let God be God. There's this fear that keeps you in the comfortable zone. Don't tell me about a God that's outside of my view of God, because that's just uncomfortable. That's unknown. That's a mystery. That's scary. But Moses says, do not fear. God has come to test you. Let the fear of him be before you. This word fear is yirah. In the Hebrew, this is the best way to explain this, is that you see life for what it is, unknown. We are at a point in our world where we are dealing with natural disasters, political threats, just ridiculous amounts of chaos. Unknown. Life doesn't follow a script. Life doesn't follow something that we can manage or feel comfortable in. Life is chaotic. But if you allow for this yirah, the fear of God to go before you, the feeling that you get when you look over the Grand Canyon and can just say, wow. This fear of God is to go before you. Psalms 139:14 says, you, am wonderfully made. Wonderfully and fearfully made. This is that fear. You have been made with this wow. When you allow yourself to relate to God and not have God boxed up, then the potential for what you can do is insurmountable. The potential for how far you can go in life is endless. Did you know that Christ actually says that he will dwell in your heart? God in you? No. Did you know that Christ actually says you will do greater things than I? Did you know that Christ actually says that you can call God Father when you pray? Did you know that Christ actually says, I have invited you into the Trinity? You look at the prayer of unity, and God says, I am you, and you and me, and I am in you, and we're all in each other. We've been invited into this intimate relationship with God. God's presence has come down and said, relate to me. You don't need an intercessor. You don't need someone to get in the way. Christ is the closest we get to a biblical given intercessor, and Christ passes the buck to us. We can't blame anyone else when we allow ourselves to relate directly to God. We can't blame anyone else for our view of God when we recognize how much God has reached out to come to you, to show you the potential of what you've been made for, because you are made wonderfully and fearfully. You have been made to be wow. As we close, a necessary ingredient in experiencing this full potential that you've been created for, I believe, is confidence. A necessary ingredient in knowing how to move forward in the potential that God has created you for is confidence. How much confidence can be drawn from knowing that holy other God, Elohim, the one who made you, wants to be with you. Came to the point of a mountain basically erupting. Came to the point of a man taking on flesh. God taking on flesh to be with you. To dying on a cross. In order for you to be able to have a direct connection to God, invest in that reality that you have been created for more than you could ever really possibly know. And don't allow for anything to limit you, because God sure doesn't. Invest in that relationship with God to know who you are and to be able to walk in it freely, fully, because you are wonderfully and fearfully made.